There you go. Let's head to Washington, D.C. Congressman Bill Flores joins us this morning. Good morning, Congressman. How are you this morning?
Howdy, Scott. Great to be on with you again this week.
Let's before we talk about the tax, because that's certainly going to be on the front burner for a lot of people, anything legislatively that's gone on in the House this week?
Well, the big hairy item that's on everybody's mind right now is how to fund the government past Friday, December the 8th. There have been a variety of proposals floated about how to fund it and how long to fund it. What I care about more than anything is let's get the military fully funded through September the 30th, and then I'll find a way to deal with the rest of the issues that surround government funding. But what's hurting us now in terms of our national security is putting the military under one continuing resolution after another. That's terrible. So all I can say is stay tuned. We've got 2.5 days to try to get this resolved, and I really don't know what's going to happen at this point. But when I had lunch with the speaker yesterday, I kept telling him we've got to get the military funded in a normal manner, regular order manner, so that we can get our readiness up, so we can quit having to watch these folks die in accidents.
Well, we can't be doing 2-week funding increments. That doesn't work, does it?
It doesn't work. Now, I'm not going to get into the details, but there are some reasons to do something like that, and it predominantly falls. It revolves around the Senate having their filibuster. If they would use 51 vote thresholds to pass appropriations bills, we wouldn't have to go through these contortions, which we've had to go through for the last 7 years, quite frankly. And so my hope is that they will see the light and start doing this the right way.
Congressman Bill Flores joining us from Washington, D.C. Kind of interesting legislation for licensed gun owners that the House took up this week.
That's correct. We're going to have a reciprocity bill that allows concealed carry owners lawfully carry on a concealed basis from one state to another state. Now, they have to comply with the laws of the state into which they're traveling, but if you have a concealed carry in Texas, you'll be able to do the same concealed carry in, let's say, District of Columbia, which bans concealed carry at this point, but you will be able to carry. Some people have said this is violating states' rights. That's not true. If you look under the Constitution, the federal government, it says that every state shall honor every other state's laws, and the federal government has the ability to come in and commonize those laws, just like we do for driver's licenses. So the driver's license is the closest analogy that we can refer back to when we look at concealed carry and having reciprocity. We also have improvements to the NICS system, the National Instant Background Check System, to make sure that everybody is reporting the NICS the way they're supposed to. Now, this arises following the shootings in Sutherland Springs, Texas. We're trying to make sure that people are lawfully carrying a weapon, can continue to carry the weapon under the Second Amendment. But the NICS system is obviously not catching the people who are unlawfully carrying, so we're improving that as well. There's also a component in there to try to figure out why the Obama administration said that bump stocks were legal. And so we have to look at, we're getting that issue looked at again.
Earlier this week, you had your electronic town hall with members of this portion of your district down in the South. What did you hear there?
Well, we had about 5,000 folks that joined us. So across both of our town halls, it's going to be somewhere in the neighborhood of 11,000. We'll put out a press release with the overall results in the next day or so. The critical issues that came up were tax reform, net neutrality, deficits. Some people wanted to talk about national security. There were a variety of subjects that came up. I was really pleased with the how long the conversations went and the quality of the questions we got. And one of the things you see, particularly with tax reform, is that there is a lot of false narrative out there. And what we were able to do is put out what the truth is with respect to tax reform, because there are people that are anti-tax reform that are trying to throw up a bunch of smoke and mirrors and just absolute falsehoods about it. So we were able to get the truth out for the people that were on that were participating.
Well, clearly, both bodies will vote for it to go to a conference committee, and we could go through a lot of details, but, you know, the one question I want to ask is, I'm a taxpayer in America. What's the one thing that's going to make a difference in my paycheck, bottom line, and how much is that going to be?
Well, you're going to see three things that primarily affect what I'd say sort of working-class America. Number one is your standard deduction is almost doubling. So for a family, it's going to go from $12,700 to $24,000. The second thing you're going to see is your tax rates are lower than they've been in the past. And the third thing is you're going to see, instead of having all these multiple different types of child tax credits and family tax credits and so forth, you're going to see one common tax credit where the amount has been increased. It's also an advanceable refundable credit so that those on the lower end of the income scale are going to wind up in a better economic position than they are today. So the median income in our district is about $51,000. Now, the metric we've been using for the median income in the United States is $59,000. For that family, their taxes are going to go from $1,600 a year to $400 a year, a 75% reduction. So that's real money to families where they've only got like $400 in reserves to meet their fiscal emergencies. That have been living paycheck to paycheck, and they haven't seen a pay raise for 10 years. So this is going to be hugely helpful to that population of our country and our district.
Congressman Bill Floor is joining us this morning from D.C. Finally this morning, the president is going to announce that he's moving the U.S. Embassy to Jerusalem from Tel Aviv and says this should be the capital of Israel. This is going to bring some shockwaves.
Well, let me say this. I mean, the capital of a country is where the country says it is. And so Israel says their capital is Jerusalem. And my view of the world is that we ought to put our embassy in the capital that the country says it is. I mean, how would we like it if somebody put the embassy of, let's say, the UK in Chicago, even though the capital is Washington, D.C.? And so I think the president is exactly right. Is it going to cause some disruption? Yes, it will. But it's the right thing to do. You can go back to for 4,000-plus years, and Jerusalem has always been the capital of Israel. And if they say it's the capital, it's fine with me. I think the president made the right decision.
We'll certainly watch for the fallout because it's certainly the words have already started. Congressman Bill Flores joins us most every Wednesday. You can hear the entire interview archived on our website at WTAW.com. We appreciate the time this morning.
You bet. Great visiting with you, Scott. I'd ask our listeners to continue praying for our country, our military men and women, and our first responders. And I hope everybody's getting ready for a great Christmas season.
We are doing that. Look forward to talking to you next week. Thanks a lot.